We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Hooters here, I see like there's a table of about 30 people that I'm guessing are all here from work. They take a day off, you know, and they come out, they watch the games. And
yep.
So I think this is going to be a fun tournament. Now, Miami not being in it, I know you've got Florida in it, but Miami not being in it, a little bit of a bummer for us Hurricanes fans, but is what it is, and we'll make do with what we have. And the fun thing is our professional handicapper, Lee Sterling, is sitting in the booth behind us.
Writing handwritten notes.
He's got his tout sheets out. He's ready
in.
To go, and this is going to be bad for us, man.
I see.
He's handing me notes like we're in sixth grade.
Right before we came on, can we get it on these 2 o'clock games?
I said, slide me notes. So
it's gonna be tough.
Gonna be fun. If you want to see where we're at and whatnot, you can check out WQAM on Instagram. I sent a couple of pictures. My Instagram account is Radio Mark Hockman, and on Twitter as well. We'll send you some pictures throughout the afternoon as we do the show here live at Hooters on Coral Way. Beautiful day in Miami, and the windows are open, and all is good. Now, you have Falero. You're back in the studio in Miami Gardens. I didn't even ask you. Do you have the tournament song? It's
yes.
Got all the teams that are in the tournament. Can you play that for everybody? Give everybody a little taste of what's in store for the next whatever.
Bears, Bruins, Braves, Bulls, Boilermakers, and Buckeyes. Cardinals, Eagles, Owls, Ducks, Jayhawks, and Hawkeyes. Golden Eagles, Golden Gophers, Red Storm, Red Raiders, Bulldogs, Times Four, Bison, and Terriers. Blue Devils, Sun Devils, Billikens, Tar Heels, Two Tigers, Terrapins, and some team they call the Norse. Oh my God, there's still 38 more. Cougars, Catamounts, Two Panthers, Four Wildcats, Badgers, Grizzlies, Wolverines, Rams, and the Wolfpacks. Sooners, Spartans, Seminoles, Hokies, Rebels, Gales, twice. Cavaliers, Volunteers, Monarchs, Flames, and Two Knights. Doves, Huskies, Cyclones, Orange Gators, Two Aggies, and Eaters, Raiders, Bearcats, Pirates, and Racers. The field is set. Fill out your brackets. It's March Madness.
There you is. There it is. And it's all the teams. Again, I wish I heard the name Hurricanes in there, but there's all the tournament teams.
I heard a Gator.
And I will tell you that one of the bets that Lee Sterling gave us on Tuesday night, the play-in games, he gave us three picks. One was an NIT game, which was a winner. The other one, the only NCAA game that we actually bet, was Fairleigh Dickinson over, who was it, Prairie View, yes. Prairie View, and we won that bet. So we
Jenkins.
Jenkins, number three.
Jenkins.
It was ridiculous. So we're already on the plus side for the tournament. Now we'll see how the brackets fall in, and we got a lot of stuff to get to. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us today. He is a basketball expert, if you will. One of our other gambling experts, Rob Pizzola, he will join us today. Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel covers the Dolphins. We'll talk with him. We haven't spoken with him since the Dolphins signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. So we have a lot of stuff to get to this afternoon. But I have to start where we ended on Tuesday. This has been gnawing at me. So you really think Michael Jordan retired?
Bro,
because he was going to be suspended by the league?
That's 28 hours ago.
Bro, I can't let it go. I had a day off yesterday, and I almost canceled it because I couldn't get in fast enough to talk about this. You genuinely believe? Because I have to know, are you doing the, you know, like First Take does or whatever, they have to take different sides. There's no TV show if you don't take different sides,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Same thing on Undisputed. Like I mean, it's just the nature of the business. So when we were ending the show Tuesday, I was mentioning that it was the one-year – or not the one-year anniversary. How many year anniversary was it, Falero? Do you remember?
20-something, wasn't it?
I think it was – 20.
20-year anniversary, something like that, of Michael Jordan coming back. It was his first game after his 17-month retirement. He played the Pacers.
Was it 94, 95?
I can't even remember.
It was like 94, 95. So it would be, yeah.
So I mentioned it just kind of benignly, and Crowder went into this thing, and everybody's heard this before because this is not like this is not a crazy idea. A lot of people genuinely believe this. So you genuinely believe that Michael Jordan stepped away from the game of basketball for 17 months because he was going to be suspended by the NBA?
Yes.
That's not radio shtick?
No, it's not shtick. It's just there was – I don't know if suspension something, there was information that was going to be – that was going to come out, and there would have to be repercussions to it. That was my thing. I don't know if it was gambling, if he owed too many people, if something happened where he was in debt, or if he gambled on basketball. I think there was information that if it was to come out, the NBA would have to have repercussions. And he said, you know what? I'll step away. I'll take myself out of it for a second.
Been thinking about this since Tuesday. I don't have anything. I don't have any startling information to tell you. But I've honestly been thinking about this since Tuesday.
You surprised me. I was like, oh, what's he coming with? Damn, 28 hours later.
I'm thinking about having Sylvie on from ESPN Radio in Chicago just to see. Because it's an idea that's been floated.
Yes.
Years and years and years. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. I don't see it.
Is that a conspiracy theory?
I think so. I mean, it's not what's been delivered to you via all the parties interested, and I just don't see how a secret like that could be kept. But anyway, I just wanted you to know it's been gnawing at me.
But what about this? He's so tired, right? He was so tired. He was exhausted of basketball, right? So he retired in end of October. The following February, he decides to go to Major League Baseball camp.
He's tired of basketball, but now
he's going to camp for the Major League?
I don't think he was physically tired. I think that he was out of challenges when it came to basketball. He's the greatest of all time. He was out of challenges, and that was a unique opportunity for him to cement himself as like one of the greatest, if not the greatest athlete that we've ever seen. I don't think there was anything sinister at play. I really don't. First of all, I don't think that he got along very well with the front office of the Bulls. Like, I think that made it easier because it was Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, and Jerry Krause was the general manager. And I mean, the fact that he was never made the Alonzo Mourning or what Dwayne Wade will become of the Bulls organization shows you that they never really cared for each other.
Yeah.
So I think it was easier for him to walk away because of that. I think if they had a greater relationship, he may not have done so. But I have to tell you, like, I've never believed anything other than what Michael said or what the NBA said. And honestly, it's been gnawing at me. And so I just wanted to see if that was your genuine opinion or if that was something that you were just doing for the radio.
No. And it is to the fact of that I know how, you know, being older now and then being a professional athlete and just, you know, the psyche of athletes now with the media, like how LeBron's chasing Jordan, how we have to have that conversation. How LeBron wanted to, you know, he had to surpass Dwayne Wade, surpass Shaq, surpass Kobe. LeBron surpassed Kobe. If you go back to when Jordan was, the 90s, early 90s, you know, mid-90s, he was still trying to prove he's better than Dr. J, better than Wilt, than Kareem. Like, that's the part of the athletic side of it where the best athlete in the world, the best player ever to touch a damn football since Dr. Naismith invented it, says, you know what? I'm going to let this basketball go for a second. The reasoning behind him letting it go is what I question.
Right, which is why it was such a unique move by him, I think. But anyway, we can ask Geltzeiler coming up in a few minutes just to see what he says. We can ask Pizzola when he comes out with us. Listen, people believe that there was something sinister at play there. It's not like it's not an out-of-line thought, but I've never, ever thought that. Now
it's all word. My thing is all word of mouth, and we have a lot of this. We debate this a lot of times, where it's one person saying one thing, and that's the truth. Well, that gets to me. I'm like, hey, what if he's full of crap?
But it's the only parties that know. Like, if you're not going to believe the person, and he's the one directly involved, then you're just choosing randomly not to believe him. Might be a problem that we're having in today's day and age. Regardless, I want everyone to think about this. We're going to get into it later on in the program, but I want everyone to think about it. What is exciting South Florida sports fans the most right now? The Heat, the Hurricanes, or the Dolphins? I wish it was the Panthers, and I wish I could put the Panthers in that poll, but I can't. The Heat are playing well. They've won three in a row. They're in the eighth seed. They look good, though. The Hurricanes have won the offseason. And now Tate Martell has been cleared to play, and there's genuine excitement. People are looking forward to that August 24th game against your Gators.
Yes.
And the Miami Dolphins while we all know they're not going to be a very good team, I think made a pretty good move with getting Ryan Fitzpatrick as their quarterback, because then you have a little bit, a modicum, if you will, of excitement. And so I wonder, what is exciting South Florida sports fans the most right now out of those three?
You're going to be surprised by my answer.
You're going to say the Dolphins.
No, the Canes.
Hurricanes.
They're farther along in their rebuild.
Well,
the Dolphins are a year out of even trying to put something together. The Heat, we don't know where they are.
But it's all on paper. I mean, it's all on paper, and it's all the thought of they're doing everything right.
Yeah.
Like, and I think I'm probably with you. If you made it a poll, it's probably what is most exciting right now to South Florida sports fans, the Hurricanes. Manny Diaz has done everything. Since the moment he took over, he has won every little battle that he's had. But I do think that there's some excitement about the Dolphins, and I'll tell you why, too. I think people are in complete agreement that they're doing it right. Whatever they're doing it right. It doesn't seem like they're doing it improperly. And then the Miami Heat, this might be, they're gelling at the right time, getting to playoff time. This might be a nice little send-off for Dwayne Wade.
The thing with the Dolphins that they're doing it right, can a fan base understand that? Because if they can't understand the bigger picture of it, then the Dolphins will jump up there. I think a lot of fans can't understand, why can't we just be the Patriots and be good every year?
Well, I think you can. I think a fan base can understand it in theory. And then all of a sudden you're 0-3 or 1-5. And then all of a sudden you go, what are they doing? So a lot of times you can understand something, you think you understand something, you think you're on board with something, but then all of a sudden all the losses start piling up and they don't. I think the Hurricanes are on to something, and it's a weird thing. They're playing the Florida Gators, a top 10 team, and Canes fans, me included, cannot wait till the end of August.
And it's going to be a lot off tape, Martell.
Yes.
It's a lot of questions with the Canes, but there are pieces. This is a question, too. Are you more excited about Tate Martell, who hasn't had a big role in any college football team in his life? He's living off his high school career. Or a 15-year vet in Ryan Fitzpatrick?
I'm probably more excited about Tate Martell, but not because of what he can do on the field. It's because of what I've already seen from N'Kosi Perry and Jaren Williams.
But you've seen Fitzpatrick throw three 400-yard games in a row.
And I'm excited to see it, and I hope that Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker are excited to see it, but I am excited about Tate Martell just based on what we've had. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at Hooters on Coral Way in Miami. The tournament is underway. Let's see. Minnesota's leading Louisville. That would be an upset. They're up 76-69 with a couple minutes left. LSU is beating Yale by 9 points right now, so we'll keep an eye on all these games. Brian Geltzeiler, the Hoops critic. You hear him on NBA radio and see him on NBA TV. Brian Geltzeiler is going to join us next.
Radio.com.
Oh, yeah.
I looked out the window, seeing this bald head. Ran through the fridge and pulled out an egg. Sculpted on my sculpts, he had no hair.
Lost that shot, he was caught out there.
Saw the convertible driving by.
We are live at Hooters on Coral Way in Miami. There is a table of about 30 guys playing hooky from work or something. They are all doing a shot right now. I mean, you've got to appreciate that on a Thursday afternoon come tournament time. Oh, now it's somebody's birthday over there. All the Hooters girls are coming out to wish them a happy birthday.
There's some manager out there upset right now.
Things are happening.
You know. I'm going to snitch on them. I see an emblem on that dude's shirt.
Is that is that a visible emblem? I'd like to know where they're working at, all those gentlemen out here on Tournament Thursday. So we're out here. We're at the Hooters on Coral Way, and then tomorrow we'll be at the Hooters in Hialeah. So we are going to get our fair share of basketball, wings, Hooters girls, chili.
Chili. I'll have some chili.
Soft drinks.
Oh, some hard drink. 601.
Let's go to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Our friend Brian Geltzeiler is there. I bet he wishes he was with us. You hear him on Sirius XM, on NBA Radio. You see him on NBA TV all the time. You can follow him on Twitter at HoopsCritic. Hello, Brian.
Hello, gentlemen. I'll tell you, Hawk, you sounded a little jealous of those guys with the shots. You wanted to be doing shots.
Soon enough. 6 o'clock, we'll be here soon enough, Brian.
Six o'clock, we'll be here soon enough. You know, hey, they call that Miller time, right?
Before I start with, you know, current NBA stuff, do you think when Michael Jordan retired for those 17 months, he was actually suspended by the NBA?
Here's where I don't really know. I have no idea. Do I think he may? I don't necessarily think so. I think that's a makes for a terrific urban myth. I will say this. I'm not sure that the NBA was upset with the fact that he walked away, but I don't know that it was good for revenue in the game, and I think whatever it was, they could have absolutely swept it under the rug. I think he may. I think the reasons they would have suspended him could have been why he felt some pressure and needed to get away. But I don't know that necessarily it was any kind of formal clandestine suspension that was set forth and laid out to him.
But Geltzy, the biggest competitor, we've heard the story, he slapped Steve Kerr. He would talk down to everybody. We heard him cussing out AI when he was a rookie. The biggest competitor, the competitive spirit of Michael Jordan, would just hang up basketball. It doesn't make sense to me, bro.
Well, he'd hang it up to do nothing, Channing, right? He hung it up for a brand new challenge. And you got to remember about that time in Michael Jordan's life. His father had just been brutally murdered. His father was his best friend in the world. Michael was dealing with some major, major demons. Demons that caused him to act out in certain ways. And I think, you know, Michael had a predisposition towards liking to do a lot of gambling. And that part of his life may have been getting out of control. And what did he do? He rolled up his sleeves and took on a brand new challenge to try to become a professional baseball player, because I think he felt as though basketball had become toxic to him. And it was hard for him to – he associated that with his relationship with his father. You remember when he won his first championship, the emotion between him and his dad, losing his dad at that point, and then diving himself into baseball, which was his father's true love, to try to see if he could make a go of that. I think there was something cathartic about that for him. I don't think necessarily that was any kind of suspension, because David Stern was a businessman above anything else. And one thing you could say about Michael Jordan, he was really good for the business of NBA basketball.
Yeah, I agree with you. Crowder and I got on this conversation on Tuesday, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although, you know, growing up in Chicago, I'd heard that a million times. It's not uncommon to believe that. But I'm kind of with you. I think his move to baseball, his retirement from basketball, the way that you said it, was a little more romantic than clandestine. I think he had, yeah, some emotional things that he was going through, but it's something that we've disagreed on. And I was just curious, because a lot of people do believe that there was something at play there other than just his desire to do something else. But I don't. But it's interesting to hear an outsider's opinion of it. But let me move on to something more pressing that was a long time ago. The Heat are looking good right now. The Heat have won three in a row, including San Antonio last night. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they're a game and a half ahead of the 9 seed, so I think they're entrenched right now in the 8 seed. The Heat are looking pretty good, Brian.
Two games and a loss, I think they make the playoffs. As a matter of fact, I think if you look at Brooklyn's schedule, and granted, the Heat schedule is not easy either, but if you look at Brooklyn's schedule, I think the Heat are going to land in the 7 seed. I think they're actually going to not only make the playoffs, I think they're tied in a loss with them right now. I think they passed Brooklyn. I've loved the way the Heat have played. I loved what Spo has been able to do to pull this team together. The way he's gotten, and listen, with Dwayne Wade on the team, this is a lot easier to do, but getting Whiteside to buy into a bench role ain't easy. And he got him to do that. Having Dragic come off the bench when he returns, also not an easy thing to do. but it's working. And they roll second units out that are better than most teams' second units. And, you know, they have their share of injuries. They continue to have their fair share of injuries. But nonetheless, this is it's been a great job by them. And they still do a lot of what they do. And I'll tell you this much about Dwayne Wade, who, yes, he's doing this whole retirement tour around the league, and it's been sweet and great and emotional. The man can still play the game. And he probably, if he wanted to come back next year, he could certainly be a contributor on a playoff team in the same way that he's a major contributor on this playoff team right now. And you give him all the credit in the world for how well he's played. But this is, you know, the Heat have pulled it together. I love what they've done by committing to Adebayo and Richardson and Winslow in the starting lineup. That's their young core. That's where they have to grow. They know they're not winning anything this year. But if you can get these guys as starters in the playoffs, that experience is invaluable.
Gelty, who's the best player on the Heat?
That is a great question, Shannon.
Somebody asked me, bro. That's why I need some help.
Okay. And the reason it's a great question is because there is no quick answer, which is pretty shocking.
It is. It is. Well, it's because what you have is a roster. Your top players are what I like to call, they're the barbell. You have either really old guys or really young guys. So you could say maybe if you wanted to go with the old route, Dragic or Wade. If you wanted to go the young route, you could probably say Winslow or Richardson. Now, I don't necessarily think it's Richardson. I think it's, if you ask me right now, I'd probably say Justice Winslow. But the fact that we can't give you, I agree with you, Hawk, the fact that we can't give you a definitive answer on who the best player is a double-edged sword. It's a good thing about the roster and the fact that there's depth and you're bringing two guys off the bench that could potentially be considered your best player in Dragic and Wade. The flip side is that it highlights the fact that Pat Riley has gotten away from what he made his bones doing, which was getting stars to his team and winning championships with stars. And that's the thing. My Sunday partner on NBA Radio, Mitch Lawrence, always says the same thing about the Miami Heat. Where are the stars? And that's the issue. You don't really have star players right now, and that's why the Heat have landed themselves here in NBA purgatory, where they're not good enough to really be a meaningful push in the playoffs. They're good enough to make it, but not to advance, and they're not bad enough to be a bottom of the league team and get a high lottery pick and be able to draft one of those stars.
Brian Geltzeiler is with us. You hear him on NBA Radio on SiriusXM. You see him on NBA TV. Speaking about not good enough to do this, or maybe the plus and minus sides of two things, another conversation that Crowder and I were having a couple days ago was about Eric Spoelstra. And so he seems to figure it out by the end of every season. And I was saying to Crowder, I think that's a pretty good trait to have, where you get through a season, he gets to narrow in on what his rotation is going to be and how he's going to use his players properly, and they seem, you remember a couple seasons ago they had that 31-11, you know, end towards the season, and they've done it again this season. They didn't look like they were a playoff team a few weeks ago. We were talking about tanking, and now all of a sudden they seem to have put it together. I think it's a great trait that he's able to figure it out. Crowder's point was, might be a negative trait.
Takes him 50 games to figure it out. Figure it out in 20 games.
If you've got that same roster earlier, maybe you should be able to figure it out earlier. Your take on Spo.
Yeah, you guys know this. I'm a huge Spo fan. Just because Spo never lets style dictate how he's going to coach. He crafts style around his personnel. And not enough coaches in the NBA do that. I mean, you hear about this guy, I'm an up-tempo guy. Well, you know what? You can be an up-tempo guy, but if you don't have up-tempo personnel, you're not an up-tempo guy. It's just that's the way it works. So you have to be able to craft an approach based upon the personnel that's laid at your feet. And he's been able to do that. I don't think it's a negative. One thing, Kenny, you got to understand one thing regarding just NBA rosters and like this kind of team the Heat have. Nothing is static. Everything is developing and moving in directions all the time. My point being is that, so like Adebayo and Richardson and Winslow, well, they're all better than they were last year. They've gotten better. They've improved over the course of this year. By the same token, you know, you were without Dragic for a while. He was hurt. The league's gotten hip to Whiteside. Whiteside's not as effective as he once was. You know, their abilities and their place in the league is not static. It's always moving. And so Spo is trying to adjust on the fly, figure out combinations based upon what happens. Listen, part of it is the nature of the roster. And the nature of the roster is, again, as I go back to that barbell strategy, your better players are either really young guys or guys that are aging. So finding the right combinations where, because listen, this stage of the season, guys that are aging are hard to use. Dwayne Wade's on adrenaline because he's on a retirement tour right now. Dragic, the injuries at this stage have been a blessing because he's been playing really well off the bench lately, but that's because he's got fresh legs because he's sat for a ton. So you have that going for you. But by the same token, you know, Winslow is picking up big jump this year. You know, it's funny. I'm doing NBA TV tonight, and they asked me about my most improved player candidates. And granted, he wasn't in my top three, but I considered Winslow. He's changed positions and done a great job at his new position. So all of it's moving all the time. Spoelstra's trying to figure it out and conquer it. This is a tough spot for Spo. This is not, you know, this is a bizarro roster, and it's kind of been that way for a while. They're stuck into a bunch of bad money, and Spo continues, in my opinion, to make lemonade out of lemons.
With that thought, Geltzy, figuring, you know, the evolution, always moving the rosters, and then teams figuring out what you're doing and having to adjust to that, why does it always seem like Whiteside is on the wrong side of that? Like you just said, he figured out how to get Whiteside off the bench. Why couldn't they figure out how to get Whiteside to start?
Well, Ed, because you know what, Channing, the problem with Hassan Whiteside has always been the same problem. It's a discipline issue. And I don't mean a discipline issue in terms of off the court, although that's been a problem at times as well. It's an on-court discipline issue. He's a block chaser. He'll abandon possession sometimes to chase rebounds. He loves his stats. And he's a guy that's, you know, it's very big with rebounds and blocks with his stats. He likes that. So what happens is that when you're trying to put a team concept together defensively and need a guy that sometimes, you know what, I don't need you to chase a block shot. Sometimes I need you to stay at home in the paint and discourage a shot. And that's, Whiteside's just not always on board with that. He's never been that way. And I think it's been a struggle to get him to play team ball on the defensive end of the floor. And when you're a guy who made your bones in this league and got yourself a big contract because of your defense, to not be a team guy defensively is difficult. So I think, you know, it's been a constant battle with Hassan. And quite frankly, I can tell you this, if Pat Riley had it to do all over again, they wouldn't have given Whiteside that big contract. With all the ability that he has not necessarily, and listen, he works hard on his game, he keeps himself in condition, he does all that, but he has just not grasped what needs to be done defensively for this team in terms of chasing blocks, chasing rebounds, and essentially chasing stats.
Brian Geltzeiler, you see him on NBA TV, and you hear him on NBA radio quickly because we're up against a break. I know it's not a real quick answer, but give me a quick answer. What is the narrative of LeBron James moving forward?
Here's the best way to put it. I'll try to keep it as brief as possible. You know where LeBron James is right now? He's exactly where Rocky Balboa was in Rocky III right after he lost the first Glover fight and Mickey died. He got away from doing everything the way he did it and got immersed in the entertainment world. Look where his name is. He's all over the place. I saw something on my screen before NCAA tournament. You know, executive producer LeBron James.
Yeah, it's like a game show. I just saw that promoted.
Yes, everywhere. He's everywhere in the entertainment world right now. Is it a surprise basketball is suffering? Now, I would say this. We should know better than to bet against him in terms of being able to roll up his sleeves, get back to the work of basketball, and make a comeback next year if he wants it. He needs that virtual Apollo Creed on his shoulder to let him know it's time to get the Eye of the Tiger back.
Who is that Apollo Creed?
Mark Jackson?
Oh, I wonder. It's possible. Not now, buddy. Not now, buddy. All right. Thank you, Geltzeiler. We appreciate it, man.
My pleasure, guys. Talk to you soon.
Brian Geltzeiler, follow him on Twitter at The Hoops Critic. You'll see him tonight on NBA TV. You hear him on NBA Radio as well on Sirius XM. We are live at Hooters on Coral Way in Miami. Gorgeous day. The tournament's going on. Things are happening. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back after this.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
In my world. And we're sitting here at Hooters, and there's great sights, and he's playing What a Man.
What do you mean?
Mighty Good Man.
Can we play something that maybe is more appropriate for what we got going on here? I mean, there is a table of cops over there, but
I'm not looking at the same views you're looking at.
I understand
that.
I'm just saying, like, I'm in a room by myself. Songs that you can pick. What a man while I'm at Hooters?
That was weird.
Yeah, strange.
I like it, man.
You like weddings too?
I love
Hunt damn Whittingham.
Come on.
Oh, I love a wedding.
I was off yesterday, so it's my kid's spring break. So I told him, I'll take a day off and I'll go wherever you want to go. And we went to Dave and Buster's. I'll tell you about it in a second. But so I'm listening. We left Dave and Buster's like 5:30, and I turn on 560, and I'm listening to you and Whittingham. And I guess earlier in the show, he had said that he likes weddings. It's a strange take.
Genuinely.
There's not a – I like strange takes. I'm all for, you know me, no sprinkles if you're an adult. If you're an adult, you do not put sprinkles on your ice cream. You just you grow past that at some point. Like 13, 14 is my cutoff for that. I don't believe that you should have a ton of sugary cereals in your house if you're an adult. I've got – you cannot drink soda before 11 a.m. I just don't believe in that.
You got some weird stuff.
I've got some weird stuff. I've never heard a dude – And from what I gather from you, the story was somebody said, I'm going to a wedding. A female said, I'm going to a wedding. And Whittingham responded just genuinely, like wasn't asked or whatever. Like, it just came out of him, I love weddings.
Oh, love weddings. Like, it was in him.
That's a strange take, man.
Do people love weddings?
I don't. And we were just at Falero's wedding. I heard you talk about it. Where yes. There was that touching moment, and it was great. I had a great time. I love Falero. He's one of my best friends. But if you gave me the choice of going or not going, I had to drive all the way down to Miami.
Put a damn tie on.
I had to give him a gift.
Oh,
I had to put a tie on. It was hotter than the surface of the sun. They brought me a chicken platter. I didn't want chicken. I wanted salmon. There was a lot of things going on. It was a great wedding.
Gave you an umbrella, man.
Chris, his argument was decent, though. He was saying, what about wedding crashers? Those are people that look up weddings and try to go to them. Then I was like, oh, so you're going to the wedding to try to find some sex. Then I can understand your angle.
Right.
He said no. And I was like, so if you're not crashing the wedding, you're just involved in the wedding? It's weird.
Right.
I was taken back.
I love hot takes. That one caught me off guard.
Love the dentist. Oh, love the dentist.
Is there anyone that loves the dentist? That's a great question. Like, honestly, my father-in-law is a dentist.
Yeah, loves the dentist.
Nobody loves the dentist. I don't think my wife, her dad is a dentist. I don't think she loves the dentist. Like, does anybody?
It'll mess up your relationship with your kids if you're a dentist.
Because they don't like you. They can't.
It's
impossible to like the dentist. Is that a? That's a fair take.
That happened at the dentist enjoyable?
Well, you walk out of there maybe with whiter teeth.
But the process of it is
nothing's
painful.
Enjoyable about it.
Yeah,
no.
Everything. Nothing enjoyable.
The pick is not enjoyable.
That's gross.
The little, maybe, you know what, the little mirror. When they jam that little mirror back there.
What's enjoyable about that?
Ew, I mean,
it doesn't hurt. It's neutral. It's the only thing that's neutral is a little mirror.
Well, I don't know. I would say that might be a universally agreed upon opinion where no one ever says, I love going to the dentist. Like, visiting the dentist for dental reasons. I'm not talking, you know, if you're in love with the dentist, you're in love with the dentist. I'm talking about going to the dentist. No one ever loves that. Is that a universally agreed upon opinion?
Yes.
Someone will say no on the text machine.
Can't. And it's weird to become a dentist. You're making every, you're hurting people. You're hurting people for 8 hours a day.
Well, I think you would couch it, though, as you're helping people, right?
I haven't been to dentist in years. I'm fine.
I would never – I don't want – yeah, I would never go into dentistry, although I don't think I'm smart enough to go into dentistry. And I think it's passed me by. I'm 49, so.
You can go back to college?
Falero, you have any desire to be a dentist? You're still a young buck.
No, I'm still going to pursue my dream as a football coach, so.
Yeah, stick with your dream. Howard Schnellenberger told you.
What steps have you made so far?
I'm going to coach a youth league in the Pop
All
Warner.
Right. Yeah. That's a good idea. Good start.
Still
I think
to
you're
get
closer to being
prouder.
A dentist than a football coach. I actually think you have a better chance of becoming a dentist
That's
than a football
what, eight
coach.
Years of school? I'm not going to do that.
So we're at Hooters on Coral Way, and we're going to be here till 6 o'clock. What happened to that Yale game? They lost by fives. Lee Sterling's behind us. They covered. There you go. That's a nice little victory if you had Yale plus the points. What's the FSU game? Anything going on in the FSU game, Polaro, you know?
No, I don't have that game on. I have TNT on. There's nothing. I'm just seeing Charles Barkley. So.
All right.
We'll another TV doesn't work on. if you can ask Tree to help me.
Minnesota upset Louisville.
Minnesota upset Louisville. Wow.
Yeah.
I think I've got Louisville going far in one of my brackets.
I had Minnesota, baby.
Did you really?
I had Minnesota, too, yeah.
Look at you guys. Look at you guys.
Balling.
What's going on
now
there?
These damn Houston Cougars got to pick it up, and we're rolling.
Well, we're going to be joined in the next segment by Rob Pizzola as he joins us every Thursday at 3 o'clock. He is a professional sports gambler. He's in Canada. I'm guessing this is a very busy time for him, but there's a whole bunch of games coming up later today, all day tomorrow. We're out here at Hooters watching them, so we'll get some picks, hopefully some winners from Rob Pizzola. We will do that in the next segment, and we'll come back from Hooters with Rob Pizzola.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.